This year marks two of the most significant anniversaries in the history of the Protestant Church. The 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's courageous act of nailing the 95 Theses to the door at the church in Wittenberg. And the 10th anniversary of the beginning of a relationship between Hope Church in Holland and the Greenpoint Reformed Church in Brooklyn. Both of these are monumental events that led to profound change. Changes that continue to reveal themselves before us even today. What you all might have seen as a relatively small act of sending your youth group to Brooklyn ended up inspiring our congregation to go and do likewise. I'm not sure that either the neighborhood or the congregation in Greenpoint had ever experienced such an act of generosity, of emptying out, of looking toward the interests of others, as we did that week. If you ask any of the High Hopers who came on that trip, or even the ones on subsequent trips, I bet that they would say, it wasn't a big deal. All we did was paint a fence. But it was so much more, because what it did was provide us a vision of what Philippians 2 would look like in real life. Until that week, I don't know if we could have imagined having the capacity to put others' needs before our own. We would have probably told you that we were a struggling church in a neighborhood that was not exactly hospitable to Protestantism. We probably would have told you of a once grand history, but that after decades of decline, we really should have closed. We would not have painted a hopeful future. But that's what you all provided, a hopeful future. Like what I did with that, Gordon, it was a bad pun, just like you would have made. I don't usually make bad puns, but when in Rome, neither do you, right, I'm sure. So we experienced your act of generosity and were inspired to go and do likewise. We looked around our neighborhood and we saw that in an area where there was a 36% poverty rate, there wasn't a food pantry or a soup kitchen. So quite innocently, perhaps foolishly, the congregation started one in October of 2007. It was all because you all came and painted a fence. Initially, we figured we'd feed about 20 people, maybe 25. Our estimate was absolutely spot on for the first week. What we didn't anticipate, though, was that as word spread, people began coming and coming and coming. By that spring, we were serving 100 people a week, and then the recession hit hard, and the numbers of hungry people doubled again and again and again. Like our relationship with Hope Church, the soup kitchen and the food pantry is about so much more than just the work. It's about the relationships formed among church folks and community volunteers and all the people who come through our doors needing food. What we discovered is that we're all hungry. Some of us are looking for a bite to eat, and others need community, connection, or purpose. This year also marks the 5th anniversary of one of my biggest regrets and failures in ministry. The Hunger Program brought together many people who were among the neighborhood's most vulnerable and marginalized. Every culture has their hierarchy. In Jesus' time, it was the prostitutes and the tax collectors who were on the bottom. In Greenpoint, it's the undocumented Polish men whose addiction to alcohol has gotten to the point that they lack a roof over their head. And you know when you have fallen on hard times when you are Polish and you end up in a Reformed church. We'll just be honest about that and up front. Almost every winter, one or two of these men would freeze to death. It was sad. People would divert their eyes. They would shake their heads. And they would say it was frustrating that nothing could be done about this problem. The city offered to set up a respite shelter if a suitable location could be found. My loving spouse and co-pastor Jen told me that we were already maxed out, keeping up with feeding 700 people a week. Plus, she wisely noted, "Anne, why do you want to hoard all of the ministry in this neighborhood for yourself?" None of the other churches, though, would do it. Finally, I managed to guilt the Episcopal priest into entertaining a discussion. It was a relief. Things were going so well until his church decided to enter into a real estate development deal, and he informed me that as a part of that deal, they were not going to be able to open their doors to these homeless men. Hurricane Sandy hit, and it was as if heaven opened up and goodwill and love just spread out in abundance in our neighborhood. It was so inspiring that when that Episcopal priest stopped by just to see if we might be able to open the shelter just for a year, just with a little extra money involved for the benefit of the church, that the consistory agreed. Jen was right. We were already juggling too much. But it was the right thing to do. And having 10 men sleep in the church basement actually helped me feel so much safer living above the church. If you've ever lived above a church, it's kind of creepy. And being a city person, the way to go and feel safe is to always have people around. It was actually kind of joyous and fun. We were all just minding our business, following Jesus, maybe even working out our salvation, working for God's good pleasure, and not freezing to death. I imagine that Jesus was doing the right thing, too. The people around him had tolerated it for a while, until he went one step too far. This moment in the book of Matthew is when you know that Jesus has gone just one step over the line, because the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and they said, "Hold it. By what authority are you doing this? Who gave you this authority?" You know, it's one step too far when they question authority. It's a very, very passive-aggressive move. Perhaps you've seen it in your own life. Not to actually question what's really bothering someone, but to say, "Why are you doing that? Who gave you the authority? Do you have the right permits?" They don't come at him directly and say, "We don't like what you're doing, Jesus." They just quietly started to undermine him. We only question authority when we find something unacceptable. No one questioned the Greenpoint Reformed Church's authority before High Hopes arrived. One of my neighbors summed up her feeling about our ministry during this time by saying, "This used to be a nice church with a pretty garden on this block until you brought that filth here." That's actually a direct quote. The neighbors started making so many complaints to the city about the church that in one day we received notification of a violation from the Landmarks Department, inspections from both the Department of Buildings and the Fire Department, calls from our city councilmen and our state assemblymen. When I called the Landmarks Department to go and ask about the violation that we had received, the woman answered and typed in our address. And then she said, "What did you do to provoke such wrath from your neighbors?" I mentioned two words, homeless shelter, and she said, "Oh, that explains everything." Most of our neighbors did not attack our moral imperative as a church to provide shelter to homeless people. Instead, what they did was they focused on the leadership of my leadership as the pastor of the church. They complained that I had not given appropriate notice, that I did not communicate well, that I was a very poor leader in gathering community support, and that clearly we didn't know that we had to get the proper licenses and have the right authority. One neighbor figured out that we were a part of the Reformed Church and called the Synod office to complain. Another one managed to find out that Reverend Dan Ram was our classes supervisor. So they called him and gave him an earful. They didn't know that he was going to really enjoy it. And they harassed my wife and co-pastor Jen and me as we tried to go and wrestle our headstrong three-year-old into the car to go to daycare. I started having panic attacks. And then we realized this just was not going to be sustainable. I caved. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And it haunts me. It haunts me even though the Episcopalians managed to pick up the work for the rest of that year, and the Lutherans now host the shelter. So my co-pastor Jen is preaching the same text this morning in Greenpoint. She pointed out to me that when someone does something courageous and bold, step one is to question their authority. I asked her then what step two was, because as preachers, if there's a step one, there must be a step two. And she replied, "On the night in which he was betrayed." Step two is crucifixion. And that's what can happen when you follow Jesus. First, people are going to question your authority. Then they will betray you, and they will make it very uncomfortable. Be prepared. And yet, we also know that God is at work in all things and through all things, that the bread and the cup, which are such a beautiful reminder of that, both of the cost and of the joy of following Jesus. The bread and the cup are our continual reminder that we are not alone in this work. So one of my other jobs is as a chaplain for the fire department in the city of New York, which gives me access to a wide variety of people and places in New York City, and some wisdom that I otherwise might not think about. And one day, one of the chiefs sat down and said to me something quite brilliant. He said, "You know, we're not all brave at the same time. Only one of us is. The rest of us just aren't sure about which one it is and whose time it is to be brave. So we all follow each other." And that is really good news for us, because you might not be feeling brave right now, but Jesus is the brave one. Jesus is the brave one who goes before us and is with us and keeps us company so that we can do big and brave things, even when people question authority, even when people betray, even when people crucify. So go forth, Hope Church, with the good news that you are not alone, that Jesus goes before us, and there is a church in Brooklyn that is your Eastern outpost. We are your church, and we give thanks for the new life that you helped to inspire. Amen.